No, it's okay. It's fine. And one turned to the other, and this is what I never forget. He said, you see, I told you. I told you that Eric is the kind of person who will always forgive you. And he said to the other person, you see, if you did this to anybody else, he would be red in the face and fuming angry by now. But you look at Eric, he's very quiet. He doesn't take it that way at all. He always forgives you. I thought to myself, Timmy, so that is what being a Christian is, eh? He knows me so well that it doesn't matter, he can keep me waiting 2.5 hours, and he knows at the end of it, and I'll say, okay, that's all right, don't worry. So, keep him waiting 2.5 hours. What does it matter? So we find that the Christian becomes very exposed. That means to say, you can take advantage of him any amount of times, he will always forgive you. So nice to have good Christians around. You can stamp on their toes, they always forgive you. Now, let me tell you something. If anyone thinks like this, he is thinking in a very foolish way. Because it shows that you have not yet understood the nature of sin. You see, sin is ultimately sinning against God. It is not a question whether that person forgives you or not. It's a question whether God forgives you or not. That is the question you have to ask. It is not a question whether I forgive him for keeping me hard 2.5 hours. The question is whether God forgives him. So if you think you can take advantage of a Christian and he will always forgive you, sure he will forgive you. But remember this, that sin is always offense against God. The question is, does God forgive you when you have sinned against somebody else? And you are not repenting. Because if you take that attitude towards sin, you're obviously taking it very lightly. There is no true repentance there at all. If you don't mind offending a Christian any number of times, your brother or sister, it shows that you take a very easy attitude to sin. You feel that, well, he's okay, he's so good, he's so kind, he doesn't mind. So remember this, the scriptural teaching is this. As we see here, the prayer is this, forgive us. We are asking God to forgive us. The prayer is not addressed to men, it's addressed to God. Why? Because ultimately the Bible tells us any sin you commit against anybody is sin against God. That is the point of sin. You have sinned against someone else. You have broken God's command. This is the reason why David says in Psalm 51, against thee, thee only have I sinned. No, David, you didn't sin only against God. You sinned against Uriah. But why then David says, I sinned only against you? Because he knows ultimately that all sin is against God. That is the point. That in the end, he is the one that is only concerned about it. I can forgive you. The question is, does God forgive? That is the more important question. And this merely means this, that when I forgive a person, what have I done? I have said, I am not going to judge you. I'm not qualified to judge you. But now I have passed on the judgment to God. Now it's between God and you, not between you and me. So you remember this, that whenever we commit sin against a brother and a sister, don't think, well, he said, I'm forgiven, so that's okay, let's finish. It's not finished. So remember then the important things that we see in this passage. That becoming a Christian vitally affects our relationship to other people. It means that our whole attitude to other people must become different. But if not, then we are going to be judged according to our attitude to other people. Now think about it. That next time, as I say, if you're going to lose your temper, or you're going to be mean, or you're going to be nasty, and you say, I'm a Christian, it's all right, I have got my seat reserved in heaven. Let me tell you, stop kidding yourself. Because God is going to judge you according to the measure in which you have judged the others. So we see in the conclusion is this, that in whatsoever we have dealt with others, That is the way in which God is going to deal with us. Becoming a Christian is not simply a matter of my relationship with God, a personal, private affair that doesn't concern anybody else. When you become a Christian, on the contrary, you become involved with everybody else. That is the reason why, if any time you have been ungracious, unkind, rude, unforgiving, harsh, or ill-tempered towards anybody else, I tell you, you better rush to the throne of grace and say, Lord, forgive me. I beg of you. Because otherwise, God is going to treat you in exactly the same way. Now, in conclusion, let us notice here this too. What happened to this unforgiving servant? We are told here is this, in verse 34. And in anger, his Lord delivered him to the jailers. In your revised standard version, you will see in the margin it says torturers, till he should pay all his debt. Well, what happened to this man who was once forgiven? We notice his terrible conclusion. He is delivered to the torturers, the jailers. I have checked how this word is used elsewhere in the New Testament. It appears, for example, in Luke chapter 16, the related word in Luke 16 verses 23 and 28, that is in the original. And we find that it means the place of torment it is used there. He in his torment, that was the rich, the man who did not repent, who saw Abraham, the rich man who did not help Lazarus when he was in his need. Now what happened is that his position was turned around. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom and he was in the place of torment. Now this word place of torment, the word torment there, is exactly the same kind of word that is used here. I've translated torturers or jailers or whatever you like to translate it as. In other words then, the man who had been forgiven, the man who ends up in hell. Once saved, always saved. Anyone who lives on that kind of ground, study the Bible carefully, that there may be no arrogance, no complacency, no easygoing Christianity, no wishy-washy Christianity, no nominal Christianity in the church. Let me warn any person who thinks that he can be some kind of a neither here nor there Christian, some kind of a lukewarm Christian, and he's got heaven all reserved for him. This man ended up in the place of torment. You know where that is. And so remember this, brothers and sisters, the teaching of Jesus, isn't it? Sharp and penetrating. And warns us all the time, keep on your toes spiritually. Live up to your high calling, or else you may not prove worthy of that calling. You'll be disqualified. You will not be found to be a child of God. Notice again when we said earlier on in Matthew, when it says that you may be, remember that I pointed out to you, that you may become the sons of your Father in heaven, that you may be worthy of being his sons. If not, you might find that he doesn't recognize you as a son at all. Oh, the importance of this teaching I hope each one of us truly appreciates and takes to heart. Virtually, we are women, eating our kinchu to Yesu the Tiaoshin. How long woman should our 上帝对待我们的原则是什么？好让我们知道，这里面到最后第34节里面，我们发现这个人本来已经被赦免的，但是因为不配被赦免，结果呢，他呢，第34节里面说，主人就大怒，就像上帝要跟这些个对待别的基督徒。 很随便，没有爱心的，要大怒，把他交给掌刑的人。这交给掌刑的人，这什么意思呢？我查了这个原文里面这个字在别的地方怎么样用呢？就发现他在路加福音第16章第23节、28节里面也可以看到。这里面看到是什么呢？就是看到这个意思呢。 跟地狱的意思就非常相近。就是说你在什么地方掌刑呢？什么地方受刑呢？那圣经里面只有一个地方可以受刑，这就是地狱。所以我们可以看到，本来这个人可以得到赦免，结果呢，因为他不配得到赦免，这是主耶稣跟我们讲得很清楚，结果他呢就乐在掌刑的人手里面。如果每个基督徒懂得这里面的教训，我们教会里面再也不会有这种马马虎虎、随随便便、不冷不热的这种基督徒。我跟你说，上帝看着教会里面这帮基督徒呢，实在是看之不入眼。在启示录里面跟人说，因为你不冷不热，我就从我的口中把你吐出来。他不能忍受这一般基督徒。我们必须要知道，上帝的要求对每一个基督徒是非常高的，做基督徒不是一个随随便便庸庸碌碌的事情。所以我们看到，我们必须要靠上帝的恩赐活出一个基督徒的生命来。这个基督徒说，不是说我可以随便，我没有活出一个很荣耀主的生命来也不要紧，我跟你说非常要紧。如果没有这种生活的话，就想在审判的日子希望看到上帝怜悯的脸的脸啊，在那一天他们看到羔羊，震怒的羔羊，就说让那个山呢，让石头把我遮盖起来，不敢看他的脸。 So I say to you then, brothers and sisters, remember this. We have a high calling, and it matters what kind of a life we live. God is intimately concerned with the purity of His church, the quality of our lives. God cannot stand the kind of Christian that is neither here nor there, neither hot nor cold, indifferent towards people, who behaves in a nondescript fashion. Remember this, if God behaves towards us in the way that we behave towards Him and towards others, ask yourself, the sort of life you are living now, will you really make it? Will you prove worthy of His forgiveness? We love Him because He first loved us. He first loved us, and therefore we love Him, but make sure that we do love Him. And the way we love Him, John tells us, is seen in the way we love others. John says, if you do not love the brother you can see, how can you love the God that you do not see? It must be seen in our lives. That is absolutely vital. So that there may be a church that really reflects the glory of God. That's what we are called to. So remember again these vital words. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. If we don't forgive, neither will we be forgiven. In what measure we give, that measure we will get. Let us be quiet before God in prayer. 我们现在在主的面前安静祷告。